Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. It's so good to be with you again, and we just praise Yeshua for this wonderful, wonderful testimony that is coming here, right here from our sister Lily. And it is just such a privilege to be able to pray with each of you every week. And we just really praise Abba Father for what He has done and what He continues to do. And as we just lift each other up in prayer, I know that it's so important that we continue to pray for one another. So we just give Him all the praise today. We praise Him that He is with us. We praise Him that He has this set-apart time for us and that He is really going to just reveal Himself in this Restoration Hour time. I really believe that today as He, sure, I think is just really going to speak to us. But also, you know, while Yosef and I were praying and just preparing for this evening, we were really touched in our own hearts and lives because we know that the word we share with you tonight is a word that Abba Father has been sharing with us this year. And it's not a word, it's really a mission statement, really a life, real lesson. You know, tonight we're going to be getting into identity and what that really means. And how does Yeshua really see us? And how do we access that truth? How do we access our identity? As much as what we often focus and we, you know, obviously as people, we kind of always think to ourselves, what is our purpose in this life? You know, what is it that I'm here for? And we seek for that, and it's hard to not know your purpose. But oftentimes people misplace purpose with identity, and often they can get caught up in the things that they do or who they think they're supposed to be, you know, with regards to their work and how they go about doing things, or even work-wise, ministry-wise. And it becomes something that just really takes away from their identity. And so tonight, we're really going to get deep into identity. Yosef, welcome to you, and it's lovely to have you with me today.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to be here, and I'm glad, as Leah said, that we can be on air again and just share Yahweh's truth with you. And you know, Leah, I want to say that, you know, this evening, I think that the topic that we're going to speak about is something that I think speaks to each one of us throughout our lives. I think from the time that we get saved right up until the day that we're going to die and pass away, I think that it's going to be a question that we're going to have regarding who we are and our identity and how we define ourselves, and how that identity shapes us is very, very important. And I think that as we go through different stages of our lives, our identity seems to change. And oftentimes we go through ups and downs. And the truth of the matter is that our identity needs to be the same. We can't have our identity, unfortunately we do though, as people. We have our identity shaped and molded by things that happen in our lives, our jobs, you know, the friends that we have. And I think that this evening we're going to come to realize how important it is when Yeshua actually said, you know, don't build your house on the sand, build your house on a solid rock. The same applies with regards to identity. If we build our identity on sandy, shifting, changing things, then we will also be people that are constantly changing and never ever really having the foundation of truth in our lives, and being that identity person or person of identity that reveals that identity to others. And it's not just, I want to say this evening too, that, you know, I think for many of us, we, you know, we come out of places where maybe you were in a church or you, you know, we know the Bible, we understand the word, and we study the word because we understand the value to it. So we pick up things along the way. And one of the things I think that we as people pick up is, you know, the cliches. We pick up cliches with regarding our purpose and you know, phrases where people say, you know, be Yeshua-like or be Christ-like or however you want to put it. And the fact of the matter is, what does that really mean? You know, what does it actually mean? And I want to challenge you this evening that in order for you to discover your purpose, you first have to lose your identity. You have to first lose your identity to gain your identity. And maybe you're saying, like, what do you mean? I hope this evening that as we talk about this, that we'll be able to discover what Yeshua really said about how important it is as believers, those who will, you know, that will let go of life or of this world will gain so much more. And in order for us to really have identity and understand our identity, we have to let go of what we think, what we know, and who we think we are, and how the world has defined us, or even how we have defined ourselves in the world, and allow Yeshua and His truth to define us, and then our identity comes through. So let's pray, and then I pray this evening, as we said, that it's going to bless you. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you have brought us to this place this evening, Father, to receive from you. And Father, we want to pray this evening, Yahweh, that you will speak to our hearts, Father, that our minds will be set aside and every thought taken captive into obedience. And Father, that you will speak your word directly into our hearts, the place, Father, where we can be restored and regenerated, and Father, where your word can resonate, not just in our minds where sometimes we battle with it, but Father, first in our hearts, then in our minds, so that we can live it out. I pray this evening, Father, that every single person that joins us, whether it be now or later, Father, that you will speak to them. Father, that there will be a specific word for them this evening, Father, and for their situation. And Father, that you will bless us all as a community, as friends, as people together with one accord, Father. And I pray this evening too, Father, that you will be the one that guides us into all truth. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Now, you know what, hey, it's something that I want to start off with asking. If I had to say to you today, who are you and what is your identity? What would you say? You know, oftentimes we say, and there was that you know, poll that went out quite a few years ago on social media, where someone asked, you know, believers, what do you say you are? You know, who do you say you are? What is your identity? Most people came back and said, I'm a servant of God, all right, and said, that is what I am. You know, a very small percentage of people came back and said, I'm a child of God. And others came back and said, I'm a daughter or a son of God. And that was obviously the least of what people said. Most people saw themselves as a servant of God. Now, if I ask you, what is your identity today? And I gave you just a few seconds to think about it. What would your true answer be? And I'm hoping that it's something outside of those three things. But what would you be able to say? Who has Yahweh really created you to be in this world? What has he said about you to you? What has he said that you are? Because your identity unlocks every single thing. And we're going to get into that this evening as well. And I want to say to you that if your answer is, I'm a child of God, or I'm a daughter of God because I'm in that inheritance covenant with him, that is awesome. But I also want to say to you that that's very general. And that applies to the millions and millions of believers that are alive upon the planet today. So we're going to clock over and reach, I think, 7 or 8 billion people this year. I can't really remember which one. We're going to clock over. And maybe in that number, there could be maybe 100 million, you know, true believers of Yeshua. 100 million people will then be able to say, I'm a child of God, or I'm a daughter of God, or I'm a son of God, or I'm a servant of God. That is way too general, and it's not what Yeshua wants for you only to proclaim about yourself. When Paul writes his letters and we read throughout the New Testament, we can almost see it because we're so far removed from what having a true identity means. We can almost see when he says, I'm an apostle of apostles. I saw Yeshua with my own eyes. I saw him. He commissioned me. This is who I am. People read it as though he's being arrogant, but he's not being arrogant. He's standing in the fullness of his identity. He is saying, this is who I am, and this is why I have the authority to tell you what I'm saying and to say, you know, that person is wicked and he's doing wrong. Put him out of the camp. Why? Because I am an apostle of Messiah Yeshua. I'm anointed by him. He has called me in this place, and therefore I stand up and I rise up into my authority given to me by Yeshua, and I'll proclaim this, and this is the way that we should go. The fact that he was an apostle also made him be willing to suffer for what? Preaching the message of Messiah Yeshua. The reason why was obviously, yes, because he loved Yeshua, so he was willing to suffer, but he was ready to suffer. He was not just willing to suffer, he was ready to suffer because his identity was, I am an apostle. It wasn't what he did, it was who he was. And being an apostle meant that he wasn't just about proclaiming the gospel. He wasn't just about standing, you know, in front of Caesar and Rome and in Caesarea and all those places. It meant that being an apostle meant that he was also at times willing to be in a jail cell because he knew who he was. And not only did he know who he was, but he knew the identity of Yeshua. And Yosef, I think that is key to knowing who we are. We can all say as well, I know Yahweh. I know him. You know, he says keep the Sabbath. He says keep this. He created the earth in 7 days. He sent his son to die. That's also very general. Do you know the identity of Yahweh as he reveals it to you? Yahweh revealed himself to the patriarchs and matriarchs of faith throughout the Torah. He was working with them. And then again in the Old Testament, then again, you know, in Yeshua's day and beyond. He was revealing himself. And so to know his identity meant that you had faith in who he was. And then to know your identity means that you can have faith in who you are. So that when you walk into a room where Yeshua has called you to minister the word, you're not going to be unsettled and unsure. You're not going to stand there going, I'm not sure how to share this word. I'm not sure what to do. I prepared for like 7 hours to preach this one half an hour sermon, but I'm not sure. You walk in there knowing that, you know what? I know who I am. I know what he's called me to do. I'm here to do that. And I've walked in and all of heaven walks in with me because I know who I am in him, but I know what he can do. And that is the depth of our being. We have to get to a place where we recognize who we truly are. And yes, we can say I'm a child of God, and we're all children of God. And I want us to be able to say that. And I want you to be able to say I'm a daughter of the Most High God or a son of the Most High God. But I also want you to be able to look me in the eye and say, Aaliyah, I am also this. Aaliyah, I am also that. And when I go and I do what he has called me to do, I know that I go because that is who I am. And I'm at my strongest when I am living in that. What if Yahweh has said to you in your personal quiet time, only you're going to know who you really are. He says to you, I have called you. This is going to be an example. And this is probably also a little bit general because I've heard quite a few people say this, but I'm going to use this as an example. I've called you as a mouthpiece to the nations, for example. That means that you know that you were called to do a specific thing. You know your calling is not just to one nation, it's to many. You know that you're called to, you know, speak truth that Yahweh is saying to you that you need to speak. But there's also another side of that. It means that if you're going to be a mouthpiece, you also have to listen to Yeshua. And that means you have to pray. That means you have to be a person of prayer, a person of discernment, a person of faith, a person who spends large amounts of time, you know, drawing away from the crowd into an inner room to hear what he's saying. So you see, your identity defines then how you live your life. It's not just about what you do. It's not just about every time you get to stand up and prophesy. It's about how you're going to live every single day so that when that moment comes for you to prophesy, you will be ready because you were spending a month in prayer before the time. Someone recently was asking me about our trip, our Kenya trip, and said, I would like to know from you because it can teach me, how do you prepare for this trip and what strategies do you use and how do you prepare and what kind of strategy are you going to use to reach the goals? How are you going to do? Do you have some kind of system? And I said, sister, I just want to tell you that my strategy for any mission trip is very, very simple. And she was like, okay. I said, it's got to do with prayer and fasting. That is it. Yes, you prepare and yes, you have all your sermons and yes, everything that Yahweh gives you. But you know what? It's about every mission trip is different. So for me, if we were going on this one, and it's still a big if we were going on this one, I know that Yeshua is saying to us, it's about taking him. And that requires prayer. There's no strategy. There's no 10-point preparation pack, you know, that you get. It's all about knowing what he calls you to do in your identity when you go. And I want to also just tell you something, you know, finding your identity, people try and make it very complicated, isn't it, Yosef? It's like, oh, it's this complex thing. And it is complex because it's a lifelong journey. But your identity also manifests in different ways. And also what I'm going to touch on just now is that our identity is not just maybe one thing. Sometimes a person can be one thing. We Yahweh says to them, you're a peacemaker. And that's going to manifest in many, many different ways. But yet, you know, oftentimes, sometimes we are very complex people. So we can actually be four different things. And I'm going to tell you a story about that just now. But Yosef, it's not really a complex thing. It's also quite simple. But it's also, it's very, very deep. And it's a deep journey.
It's very deep. And you know, Lee, I think that we as human beings, we complicate the simplicity of what Yeshua is trying to convey to us. And oftentimes we sit and this has been a question I think that we all as believers sometime or another ask is, you know, why am I here, for one? What is my purpose? What must I do with my life? And, you know, I was sitting thinking about this whole concept of identity and why it's important. And maybe this on the flip side is an important question to consider. You know, if we're talking about identity, then there has to be a reason why Yeshua is so this thread of identity is found from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis all the way through. It's got to do with our identity. Firstly, it's got to do with Adam and Eve and their identity with Yeshua. Then it's got to do with, you know, Israel as a people and their identity as a kingdom of priests and a chosen generation, people who would reflect the king and reflect Yeshua's identity and who he was as an Elohim, as a God, to the nations. And that was their role and their duty. But now the question I have is, you know, so often, what happens to somebody that loses their identity? What happens when we begin to stumble and struggle in finding our identity? Because there are so many different voices in the world today, and not only in the world, but even within religious circles, there are so many different voices saying so many different things, that if we begin to put our identity or take our eyes off Yeshua, who's supposed to be the author and perfecter of our faith, and we begin to listen to people without testing the word of truth and testing what they're saying, we tend to shape our identities based on a religious system, or we shape our identities based on another person's viewpoint, or we base our identity on how the world sees me. And every one of us, whether we want to believe it or admit it or not, we are faced every single day with outside factors that tend to shape who we are. And as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we have to recognize those things. And we also have to recognize the danger of losing your identity. When you begin to lose your identity, that's why from the very, very beginning, Yahweh wanted Adam and Eve to understand their identity. Because the moment that they lost their identity was the moment that they were cast out of the garden. And they were marred. They were actually no longer in the same substance or the same manner that Yeshua was. That glorified state was gone. They now were living in a different kind of body. They were cast out of the garden. They weren't living in the fullness of Yahweh's presence. So that's an important thing, is that our identity causes us to be able to identify who we are and recognize how we are supposed to live in order for us to be a holy people, and also to be able to reflect Yeshua. But it's not only, you know, we always put our minds and say, okay, I need to reflect Yeshua. But what about first dealing with yourself and looking at yourself, saying, you know what, I need to find my identity so that I can learn how to worship Yahweh better. If we find our identity in who Yeshua is, it will unlock this place of belonging, this place of wanting to know more of Yahweh. When Adam and Eve's identity wasn't marred, they were living in his presence, and there was no questions about was this right or was this wrong. They knew that they were created by him. Their identity was, I am here because this Elohim created me, and I'm here to serve him. So our identity is tied up in the whole concept or whole understanding that we have been created to worship Yahweh, and that his identity forms part of who we are. There's a connection between us and him. There's a DNA strand, if I have to put it that way. There's a substance within us that draws us to Yahweh. And when our identity is found in everything else, then we are never really going to find who we are, and we're never really going to entertain Yahweh's presence in the way that he wants. So it's about us finding who we are, but also about us finding who Yahweh is in his fullness. Our identity is tied up. When we lose our identity, we lose that way of worshiping Yahweh and who he is.
And you know, when we speak about identity, Yosef, as well, it's so important. I think we look at people in the Bible, and we look at certain people in the Bible, and we say, wow, these people were truly favored by Yahweh. Like, look at all these things that happened for them. But if we think about King David, for example, or just David himself, it says that, you know, everything that he did prospered. But why? Why did it prosper? Yes, there's this great mystery of Yahweh's grace and favor. And yes, it's a great, beautiful, miraculous mystery that Yahweh pours grace and favor upon us. But I know, because I've witnessed, you know, in my life, in people that I know's life, that And it's the same for David. He lived in his identity of who Yahweh called him to be. What about Esther? Well, she had this great favor to go before the king. Why? Because her identity was that she needed to rise up and become the person that stood before the king in a type of foreshadow of a savior of Israel against this great, horrible enemy, you know, of Haman just being used by the devil. She rose up into her identity. And when we rise up into that identity, you said as well, it teaches us how to worship and draws you near to Yeshua. But for yourself, it gives you shalom. There's a great shalom. And it also gives you a power and authority. No, not to use for wrong things, but within the kingdom of Yahweh. Because you're standing up to say, I'm fully going to be who you Yahweh have created me to be. And when I'm doing that, I'm not trying to be. And I think that that's where the impact comes in. You're not trying to be anybody else. You're not competing with anybody else. You're not jealous of anybody else. You're not envious of anybody else. You're not looking at someone else and going, no, why did they win that thing and I didn't? Or why did they get that thing and I didn't? Like, why do they have all that and I don't? The bitterness begins to leave, because when you live in your identity and you guard your heart, which is key to living in identity, then you are embodying all that he has for you. And even if you are in a season, which could last a few years, where you're not maybe actively going out and doing whatever it is that you're called to do, but you're still building your identity in prayer with Yeshua, in reading the word, in just being who he creates you to be on a daily basis, you are still building into that identity. You're still in a place of peace and power. So it doesn't matter how many people prosper on your left and how many people prosper on your right. There's no competition. There's no struggle, because you are in that perfect place. And that is part of living in our identity and finding that identity. And then people do look at your life and go, but everything you do seems to go well for you. Everything you do seems to prosper for you. Everything you put your hand to do, it works out. Why? You know? And it's like, because Yahweh's grace is just upon my life and I'm just being who he created me to be. I'm not even doing anything else. Yes, actually, there is a lot of things that I can't do that wouldn't prosper, but I don't do those things because it's not what I'm created to do.
You know, Leah, you mentioned, you know, Esther and David, and I think it's important as well with when you look at David's life, when his identity, when he stayed in who he was as the king or as a shepherd, whatever his role was at the time, when he remained in those things and he worshipped Yahweh, Yahweh's glory and Yahweh's presence was revealed through his life. Amen. The moment that David did what was wrong and began to change or began to lose part of his identity, things start to go really bad for him. And the same with Esther, because Esther's identity was found and she rose up to the occasion, what happens? Yahweh's glory is revealed, a nation is saved, and Yahweh's presence is shown to the people. But the moment that we don't, imagine she decided, well, this isn't for me. This isn't what I need to do. And she stepped away from it. Things would have been very different. The same applies with David. The moment David, you know, gets to a point where he either gets old or he's no longer looking after himself in the way that he should, David becomes wary and his identity starts to change. And that's exactly how it is with us. The moment that we begin to find our identity in other things, or people begin to shape our identity, or we feel like you said, hey, that person's got more than what I got, or that person does things better than us, so we begin to change the way that we do things so that we can be a little bit what we think better, because we think that person does it better, is not the right way. So we are changing our identity and the manner that Yahweh created us so that we can be a little bit like somebody else, or speak like somebody else, or act like somebody else, or do whatever artworks or whatever we do differently. And when we do that, we become susceptible to the enemy's lies, and we become a person who loses their identity in Yeshua, and we become a product of the system. And it's sometimes, unfortunately, we need to understand that system is not Yahweh's way. It's the system of the world, and the enemy would like you to continually to lose your identity. We have to understand there is only two kingdoms. And I said this before, it's Yahweh's way or the enemy's way. You're either going to be the bride of Messiah Yeshua, or you're going to be the bride of the enemy, and you're going to go the wrong way. So our identity needs to be something that is shaped by Yeshua, not by our culture.
And that's exactly true. And it's becoming more and more difficult, especially for the younger generation. I think, you know, the older generation, we kind of do have certain things. it sounds like we're old, but we're not, no one's old yet. But, you know, it's kind of like you can live without certain things, but the younger generation has just grown up saturated in a world that's about social media and it's about all of those things. And it's a comparison. But before we go to a song, I wanted to touch on, because you touched on David, you know, David, he learned by doing. You know, when he was younger, he was what? He was watching sheep. So his identity, and this is key, if maybe you're sitting there saying, well, actually, I don't know my identity and I don't really know how to find this identity. One of the things is we see David doing, he was watching sheep when he was younger. He was probably writing poetry and he was throwing stones around. And how do we know he was throwing stones around? Because later on, you know, he also says that he defeated the lion and bear with his own hands. So look at this identity that he has. He has shepherd identity, which again, is not just going to be him, you know, watching physical sheep. It's actually one day that he's going to be shepherd over the entire nation, because that was the kind of king that Yahweh wanted. He wanted that king that would foreshadow Messiah Yeshua, who was a shepherd king. But David was also, while he was throwing stones around, defeating the lion and the bear, it was training for him to defeat Goliath. Yes. Why? How could he defeat Goliath? Because he had taken small action steps when he was younger. He had to protect those sheep. And while protecting those sheep, he was developing things within himself that he didn't know would be used for a later time. His destiny was for him to become what? Warrior king of Israel, when the borders of this incredible kingdom were so well established under David, that his enemies were so well defeated, that we know his son inherited a kingdom of peace that he could reign over for decades because his father was the warrior king. But how did he become the warrior king? He became king when he was 30. He had training from when he was much younger. He had to protect the animals in his care. And also when the time came, he said that he could do what he was created to do when he defeated Goliath, because he believed in who Yahweh was, but he also believed in himself, refused, like you said, to take on the identity of someone else. He refused to, you know, wear Saul's armor, because that was Saul's identity. That wasn't David's identity. David's identity was shepherd boy, and that was who he was, and warrior, and eventually warrior king. And that's what I said to you earlier on. Our identity often isn't just one thing. David was. He was shepherd, warrior king. He was poet, writer, psalmist. You know, also, David probably wrote a lot of things when he was sitting. We don't have them, but when he was sitting as a young boy watching the sheep of his father, he probably wrote a lot of songs to Yahweh. And guess what? That identity, each part of David's identity would be used in manifold ways, because we know that before David came, there wasn't the kind of worship ever before. David was the one who instituted a way of worshiping Yahweh that meant that he had the musicians around the ark. He wrote the music that they needed to sing. He instituted a way of worship that was never done before. And Yahweh waited for him to come in his generation, for him to rise up and be the one that created a way of worship that had never ever been seen in ancient Israel to Yahweh before. Not even in the tabernacle did they worship like that. Not even, you know, before David's time. So David was shepherd. He was warrior king. He was, you know, this great man of Yahweh. And he was also a worshiper, a poet, writer, a psalmist, one who could envision how to worship correctly. This was his identity. And when he wasn't living in that identity, we know on 1 September, because it was a September, in springtime when kings go out to war, David stayed behind and he was what? Lazy, and he was isolated, and he wasn't warrior king. Instead, he was a lazy man that was isolated, standing on the roof of his great grand palace that he had built, and looked down and saw a woman bathing, and went, and as the Bible says, he sent for her, he took her, and he harmed her. And that is the truth of what happened there. And everything changed for him because he wasn't living in the fullness of his identity. When we get into a place where we're not living in identity, we can become powerless and isolated from the truth of Yahweh. And the enemy is waiting for us to be in that place so he can get you down. He can get you discouraged. He can get you despairing. He can get you sinning. He can get you in all those places so that you, what? No longer. He wanted to topple David from being warrior king. And David allowed it because he didn't do what he was supposed to. He was loitering from his duty. Mm-hmm. And we need to take this on board and say, Yahweh, who do you call me? What do you say about me? We started off saying that today. Who does Yahweh say you are? What is your identity? What is the words, the names that he calls you? David was manifold. And you know, Moses himself was deliverer, redeemer, mouthpiece. Yet he himself said to Yahweh, the burning bush, send someone else. Mm-hmm. And isn't it so like us as well? Sometimes Yahweh calls you something and you say, I'm not prepared. I don't have what it takes. But Yahweh says, who made a person's mouth? And that's what Yahweh said to Moses. Who made mouth that it can speak? Don't tell me you cannot speak. You are the deliverer and you will deliver my people. Whatever Yahweh says about us is truth. And so that means we're going to go to our song, our first song, actually. And it's called If It Comes From You. Enjoy, and we'll continue when we get back.
I tend to want all the answers, I tend to hold my breath, but you made my heart, Lord, so you understand. I will breathe in deeply when I don't know what's next, 'cause you're here in the waiting, help me understand. Everything good, everything perfect flows from you. I open my hands, I'm ready to see what you will do. I only want it if it comes from you. I only want it if it comes from you. Lord, you go before me and you know. Dream. I only want it if it comes from you.
also know that you, just like me, are busy bouncing with your head listening to that song. What a great song. Anyway, like this evening, we're talking about our identity and how important it is that our identity be found in Yeshua. But more importantly, also that, like we said, what happens when you lose your identity and how important it is that we find who we are in Yeshua and live that life that He has given us. So, Aaliyah, I know that you got some more that you'd like to share with us. So please share it with us.
You know, you were talking about losing your identity. And one of the things that I wanted to say was, you know, oftentimes we do know who we are. And we do have those things that Yahweh has said about us. And though we may not be able to kind of, you know, call it out to say, I am a this or I am a that, you know in your heart who He has said you need to be. But sometimes you give those things away because things happen in life. And I want to really share with you something that was laid on my heart, just to share with you how the enemy can so easily do this to us and how clever and wise, you know, we need to be, as innocent as doves, as wise as serpents, as the word says. Because the enemy comes in and oftentimes it manifests in different ways. But his idea and design is to topple you from your very identity, from the things that Yahweh has called you, from the words that Yahweh has proclaimed over your life. Sometimes we receive those words, we begin to live them out, but the enemy comes in. And Nehemiah 4 verse 1 to 3 says the following. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, he became angry and was greatly incensed against us. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and all the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they even bring these stones back to life? This is just heaps of rubble, burnt as it is here." Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing at Sanballat's side, also said, "Look at them. What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on this wall would break it down because it's just nothing but stones." Then it says, it goes on to say something that's key, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. The Israelites are building this broken wall in this time of great uncertainty. We know that, you know, Nehemiah had this vision. He goes, the Israelites are rebuilding this broken wall of Jerusalem. And we know there's many reasons why they're building this wall. But the enemies are coming against them as they are trying to rebuild what was broken down. And the enemies are all over, as we see actually in Israel right now. The enemies of Israel stand around her and always have. And here we see it happening. We see Sanballat, we see Tobiah the Ammonite, and they are ridiculing the Jewish people. But you know what? This is what happens. Sanballat, his words are really fashioned to cause so much doubt, Yosef. Doubt in the work that they are called to do. Consistently saying, oh, will they build this wall? Oh, will they cause it to come up as just stones? He's trying to throw this doubt at them all the time. And that is something the enemy does with us as well. Oh, does Yahweh really love you? Oh, did he really say that about your life? Oh, no, did those people really enjoy it when you came to share the word there? Oh, you know, whatever it may be, he is going to cause doubt in your mind. And he is going to allow that doubt to cause discouragement. That's the purpose of doubt. It's to get you to stop who and what you are, and who and what you are to be, and what you are doing, and what you are created for. And he uses people, and he's going to use people sometimes in your congregation. Mm-hmm. He's going to use sometimes people who are, in inverted commas, religious. He's going to use whoever has that opening in their life to be used by him to cause you to doubt, to cause you. And that was, you know, the problem with Eve as well. You know, there was doubt that the enemy sowed into her mind to get her and her husband to do something that caused them to what? Lose their identity that you alluded to earlier on. Sanballat's words are all about doubt. He's trying to cause them to stop. He's trying to belittle the work of the people of God. But they had to know that we are the remnant. We are called to rebuild these walls for such a time as this. We are called in this generation, in this hour, and this is our work because this is our identity, and we're going to leave this work behind for future generations. On the other hand, we have that Tobiah the Ammonite standing right next to Sanballat, and Tobiah's words are to me the deepest form of ugliness. it's abusive and it's fashioned to really break the spirit, because he's literally breaking down the work that the people are doing. He's saying, oh, you know what? You're actually just a failure. You're stupid. You're nothing. No one loves you. No one cares about you. That's exactly what his words are. He's not saying, oh, will this wall be, you know, built up? He's actually saying, look at this stupid wall that you're building. Even a fox, if it jumps on this wall, will knock it over. It's so ugly. It's so abusive. Even when I read his words, to be honest, and I've read this quite a few times, I feel an emotional reaction in my heart when I read these words. And then I stop and I say to Yahweh, why do I feel this way? And the reason I feel this way is because obviously I grew up with a verbally abusive father. And so my father would say things to me that were very, very deep and hurtful. My emotional response when I hear these words of Tobiah reveal to me that these words that he's speaking here is an abuse, and it is fashioned and formed to break people down spiritually. It's created so that it can come out, and it's about, you know what, your work is worth it. He's not causing them to doubt, he's telling them that it is so. How many times has that happened in your life? Sometimes, like I said, it comes from people who are in your Bible study, you know, people who are in your congregation, people who were your friends, people who are your family members, where they only remember your past but don't see your present or your future, and call you on your past and don't call you by your present. You know, it comes by people that never see who you truly are, but they will declare things that is wrong over your life. But what matters is how you receive those words, and if you receive those words. Because I said that something, you know, happens in two verses down, and it says the following, and before I read it, I want to say that the people really knew who they were, because this is so touching to me in Nehemiah 4 verse 6. They endure all of this. It's happening in the same chapter, and yet it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for all the people worked with all of their heart. Wow. You know what this tells me? That instead of leaning into discouragement, instead of leaning into those words that many of us have heard so many times in our life, the abusive words or the broken words, the words that were there to cause us doubt or guilt or shame, or to remind us of our past, or to really get us to not be, you know, shepherd, warrior, king, poet, creator that David was called to be, for example, or whomever you call to be. It's about not leaning in. It's about working at the work that Yahweh has given you with what? All of your heart. The key to knowing your identity and the key to living in your identity is to guard your heart and to know what to do with your heart when things like this happen. The enemy, I can guarantee you, if he hasn't done it to you already, he's going to come against you. He's going to bring accusations against you. He's going to try and cause you to doubt. He's going to tell you you're a failure. He's going to tell you you're a mess. He's going to tell you you're not educated enough, not good enough. You're not anything. You can add it to, you know, a whole list of things that he says. But the truth is that once you know your identity and you live in it and you lean into Yeshua with your whole heart, when the enemy brings these things against you and you have an emotional reaction towards certain things, that is okay. It's human. It's human to be triggered by things. It's human to have these responses. But it's about what you do with your heart in that moment. Do you say to yourself, you know what, there may be truth in this. Actually, maybe I am a failure. Yes, actually, and then the moment that you believe that in your heart, do you know what your mind does? Your mind begins to seek out evidence of the past. It goes through all of its files. Your brain is very, very smart, and it will look for evidence to prove why you are a failure. And it's just because that is how it works. But the minute that you can say in your heart, Yahweh, I'm struggling, I really need your help, this word's come against me, I'm beginning to sing, I need you, I need your help, I need you to help me overcome this. Be real, be open, be honest. Allow him to respond and lean into him with your heart. That is the only way we overcome these things that the enemy throws against us.
You know, Leah, it's so true that our identity and the enemy is always against us from the very beginning, like we said. And it's important. I really, you know, even when in ministry, it's been, you know, one of those things where you have to continue to trust that your identity is in the Father, because the enemy will always, and it's not just in ministry, it's in life in general, the enemy will always try to firstly break you down to a point where you feel helpless, and then you believe the lies, because he knows that if your identity is in Yeshua, that you will be an overcomer, and his whole aim is to destroy you and then cause you to believe that you're nothing or a nobody, or to get you to, and this is something that many people don't always understand, the enemy likes to paint a false picture. He likes to give you an alternative reality to the life that you already have. So he tries to, whether it be oftentimes with people, it will be, you know, slipping into sexual sin, or it will land up being where they will see a different life to the life that they have, thinking that, hey, you know what, this is the right way for me to live. And then you kind of weigh up what you have based on what the enemy is showing you. And he always tries to show you something that looks better. But in the end, if you live that life and you go down that path, you're going to have nothing. Your identity is totally going to be stripped away from you. And if you look at, you know, many people within the scriptures, you look at Samson with Delilah. Samson was given an opportunity to be who Yahweh created him to be, but then here comes along a different reality based on something totally different. And he believed the lie and he followed afterwards, and it stripped him of who he was supposed to be. And that's what the enemy does. He brings a different reality across your path and makes you think that, you know, this is not really who you should be. You can be this. Or you know what, this isn't really working out for you. You have now tried and been praying and praying and praying and praying for this job or for this thing that you need, and then the enemy will show you something totally different that will actually cost you your life if you go that way. And at the moment, at that point in time, when you're down or when you don't have the ability to get up, it seems like, okay, this is fine, this is good, this is something that will benefit me. But at that moment, he's literally taking away from you your eternal life. He's slowly chipping it away and causing you to believe the lie. And it's important that we get to a point, like you're saying, where we stand up in our identity, because it is the thing, you know, Yeshua himself, and this is why we know that identity is important. When the enemy came to him when he was out in the wilderness, he stood on his identity as who he was. And he believed and he stood on the word, the words that were truth. And he quoted the scripture against the enemy. He believed that was the truth, and his identity was found in who he was as the son of Yahweh. And never did he question that. He never ever wavered on that. And if he did, imagine what would have happened. You know, so it's important for us to remember that when we're going through hard times, and we're all going to go through hard times, believe me, we all go through hard times, even myself, my wife, we all go through hard times. But it's at that moment in the hardship when the enemy shows you a different reality or shows you something else and makes you start to look at it in a different way, and then you start to believe that lie. That is the moment that you have to ask Yeshua to help you to see again with the eyes that he has given you who you really are. And you have to believe it right there in that moment, because if you don't, you're going to start to believe the lie. And you know what happens, Aaliyah? We have this problem in our lives, like from the very beginning. And the problem is that because of sin, our identity is marred. Our identity is kind of cracked. And until we find Yeshua as people, then only at that moment that we accept him and we ask him to reside within our lives and we begin to walk in his ways, slowly but surely that cracks in our lives are being mended and our identity is being restored. Now, the entire world out there, most people are walking around with a cracked image. And that is why people can kill one another. That's why people can do these crazy things, because they don't see any connection to their identity or the identity of Yahweh in another person's life. Only when we are being restored into the image of Yeshua are we beginning to see who we really are. And sometimes when that restoration takes place, it's not always easy. We have to learn to let go, and we have to allow the Father to restore us so that we can, as James says, now we see, you know, in a mirror, and one day we will see clearly and one day we will understand. So when our identity is restored, we will be a true reflection of who Yeshua is. And right now on this earth, we're striving to be that reflection. So it's important. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let him put up or prop up. It's kind of like a movie. Those movies, you remember, like back in the day, Back to the Future, for example, that movie was totally shot on a set that was created with prop ups. Most of the town was just cardboard things that were made and put up to look like a real city, and it really looked good. And that's exactly how the enemy makes us think that our lives is just one big show. And then what does he do? It looks good, and the moment that you fail, the moment that you don't do in the way that he shows you, and what does he do? He just flicks over every single one, and you stand there looking and thinking, where is my life? What has happened to the last year, the last 2 years to my life? What has gone wrong? Because you've just sat in this place that has been fake. Everything that he's shown you is a fake life. Don't live that way.
Sure, it's so important, and our identity is something that's formed in us, like we say, throughout our life. And it's exciting, Yosef. It's exciting to discover who Yahweh has created each of us to be and what he says about each of us. And for some of you, you already know, and there more will be added to, you know, to you throughout the journey of your life. For those of you who are still seeking, I know that, you know, you could be doing many, many things and throughout the years, but there will still be things added to you and more revelation of truth. I know that's true for even Yosef and myself. You know, many things that we've done for so many years, but still Yahweh saying, this is actually what I say about you. This is really who you are. And allowing that identity to be given to you by him. And it's so important. And yes, Yosef, like you say, the enemy reveals that fakeness. I believe that that's what happened to David. I mean, he had so many wives, and yet standing on his roof, looking out, and just this false reality of, hey, there's this lady over there, you know, I'm going to go and get her. I can have a better life if I just take that lady instead of, you know, doing the right thing. And it's so important for us to guard our hearts and to hide our hearts in Messiah Yeshua. We're going to go to our final song of the evening. Once we get back, we are going to pray together. Please, if you do have a prayer request, please put it down. You know, we know that Yahweh is with us, and we want to be able to pray together. So if you do have a prayer request, please put it down. We encourage you to do that, and we'll see you when we get back.
For
Abba Father, we want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you do delight in us, and Father, that you have a great plan and purpose with our lives, and Father, that you want our identity to be shaped and to be formed with you, and Father, for us not to be people, Father, that are knocked around, Father, by every wind of doctrine or by everything that people say about us, Father, the lies and the half-truths, Father. We need to be moved by your truth, Father, and by our identity in you. I pray this evening, Father, that each and every person that has joined us, Father, that they will live their life, Father, in you, that they will discover more and more on a daily basis, Father, who they are, and Father, who they are in you and what is inside of them, Father, through your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you will bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. I pray, Abba Father, that you will lead us and guide us, Father, every single day into your truth. And Father, in this generation, Father, I pray as well that you will just fill your people, Father, on a daily basis with more of your Spirit so that we can overcome. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you. It's been so great to be with you in the presence of Yeshua this evening. We pray that you will have a super blessed Shavua, Shavua Tov, and we will see you next week. Take care. May Yahweh really bless you and be with you this week. And we praise him for all the wonderful praise reports that have come through on the Restoration Hour. Thank you for sharing it with us. It is such a blessing and such an encouragement to us as well. Even as we wait on Yahweh for our own prayers and our own requests at this time, it's a huge encouragement to us. So thank you so much. Be blessed. Take care and see you next week.
Shalom.
Every moment of every day, and I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Oh, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Because this broken road prepares your